Hello, and welcome back to Drinking Liberally, the podcast that combines good alcohol with some friendly political banter. I'm Kevin Wilson. I'm joined by my co-host, Jeff Fenner.
How's everybody doing?
Also joining us in the studio today is first-time guest, Stevie G.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thanks for joining us today. We're excited to have you here.
Me as well.
So we're going to get to know Steve a little better and see what makes him tick politically. But first, as always, we're going to jump into some quick drink discussions. Who wants to lead us off? How about you, Steve?
Sure. I am drinking Goza Gone Hopped. It is
good pronunciation.
Thank you. I practiced earlier. Not kidding. It's a still water artisanal ale. The style is Leipzig Goza, and it's 4.6% alcohol.
Interesting. Yeah. How's the flavor of that? You know anything about it?
It's pretty good. It's got some tangerine, a little citrus, very sour. Delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
It is a Goza, so it should be a little sour. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of sours myself, but that pretty good.
Well, I figured before. I like Sour Patch Kids. I'll go with it, and it's really not bad.
Ipso facto, yeah, it's likes gotta, the Goza. Gotta like this. Jeff, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Spirits 76, an American Pils.
What a patriotic beer.
It really is on kind of point. It's called We the People, and it's brewed from Gun Hill Brewing Company out of the Bronx in New York. Okay. So we got a little of a local taste here. Very good. A light beer. What I like, kind of crisp, light, not overwhelming on the hops. So I'm enjoying this one a lot.
That's awesome. And finally, I am drinking the Pseudo Sue Pale Ale from the Toppling Goliath Brewing Company out of Iowa. This is a great pale ale. I was actually attracted to the artwork because it has a T-Rex on there. And I'm a child, so.
Very on brand, yes.
You throw a dinosaur on a beer can and I'm buying it. So this is a 6.2% alcohol by volume. It's got a nice hazy orange pour, really citrusy smell to it. You pour that in a glass, it's almost like an orange right up in front of you. A lot of grapefruit, citrus, mango, evergreen. I love this beer.
I like grapefruit. Yeah.
What do you think, Jeff?
A lot of grapefruit in there. I really like that beer. Did you try
it? It's fantastic. I have not had the Spirit 76, but I'm going to give a sip of this right now.
Okay.
Tastes like America.
Like the Constitution.
Right, greatness. If you ground up the Constitution, sacrilege as it is, and made a beer out of it.
Threw a little bit of the flag in there.
Or use it as like a coffee-type filter and made beer.
That's exactly what it tastes like.
It would taste just like this.
I really like your beer.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay.
I'm not giving you
I like dinosaurs,
more.
Too.
Yeah. Like really cool artwork. You're right.
Yeah.
Not I like dinosaurs, too.
So. I'm a sucker for good artwork on a craft beer.
Yep.
So we're going to need these beers to get through this week's discussion. We've got a lot to talk about. But first, let's get to know our guest, Stevie G, over here. Steve, this is a question we ask every one of our guests. What are the top issues that sway your vote politically?
I mean, it hasn't changed as I've been younger. Women's rights is a big issue. Gay rights, a couple things I can't believe are still issues. And the older I get, the environment, just not care much as a kid, but getting kind of scary out there. So
starting to recycle a bit.
The recycle, yeah. I bought a bracelet for $20. Save the oceans.
Oh, so nice.
I feel good about myself.
Dope.
So, yeah. So
which bracelet?
This one here. Recycled plastic from the ocean.
So, oh, yeah.
Nice.
I think I've seen those before. That's like a Save the Sea Turtles.
Yes.
Yeah. My wife has one similar to that.
Good deeds. Yeah. Feel good about yourself.
Good for you. I like that. Very cool. All right. Is there anything right now that worries you a lot about the political climate?
Yeah, a lot. The entire the entire political climate.
Loaded question.
Yeah, it worries me. Yeah, I mean, there are some things that I can't believe are political, that are political right now.
Like what?
Like, like the climate, for one thing. Like
sure.
The fact that that's even like a political debate when there's science behind it is kind of crazy to me.
Yep.
On the same note, like the anti-vaxxer thing, I got two young kids. Like to me, that's a... insane.
Steve's coming out firing today. We're getting a lot of hate mail for this episode.
Oh, good. Yes. That's
I have a five-year-old daughter. The anti-vaxxer thing is wild.
It's just like, I have a three-year-old and I had to take him in like last week, 2 weeks ago, because he had like a thing on his neck and I couldn't be sure it wasn't the mumps.
Crazy.
Like, it's insane. Yeah.
Like, we shouldn't be in this.
Right. And he only had his first shot, not a second one yet. Yeah. So I couldn't be 100% sure.
We cured this shit.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it. My mom.
Why is this happening?
In 86, my mom had to worry about me, but not going to worry about that in 2019. Yeah. So, that's insane.
I was in Brooklyn recently where they've had a bunch of measles outbreaks.
And right.
It was weird that it crossed my mind walking down the street like, do I have to worry about this?
Have I
you were vaccinated.
Yeah.
You're okay.
How do those boosters work? It's
right, yeah. I was like, I got vaccinated as a child. Yeah.
You got the MMR shots, right? Remember?
Yeah,
measles, mumps, and rubella?
Yep. As standard for most people.
Yeah, that's
vaccinate your kids. That's
Simple.
I'm okay taking that stance on
this
podcast.
Not a question here.
Yeah. Don't go too far. That's a limb, bro. Calm down.
No. Does it cause autism, you morons? Vaccinate your kids.
Let's take this in another direction then.
Sure.
Is there anything you're actually optimistic about?
The Islanders?
So you got Canes or Capitals?
I would like the Canes to win, but I don't care either way.
Okay.
Honestly, not much politically. I feel like I'm on the same side as you guys listening to the podcast all the time. So I kind of know where you guys are. And I feel like we could be up for a rough 6 more years. So,
wow.
You know, I hope I'm wrong. But yeah, I mean, the political climate right now is just a nightmare in general. Both sides, honestly. And so optimism is a little low. Short supply right now. So I'm going to keep drinking.
That's what alcohol is made for, I think. Drowning our sorrows here. On that note, you're very pessimistic about the future. Do you have any kind of early presidential pick of who you think would stand a chance against, we presume, Donald Trump?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Biden had a chance or has a chance, maybe. I'm interested to see what Elizabeth Warren has to say. I like the fact that she has a policy out there or policies already out there that, theoretically could make sense. But, you know, I'm not sure about anybody right now somehow beating Donald Trump. I don't trust the poll numbers. The poll numbers for him were terrible before the last election. Anyone, he knows how to do this, unfortunately, and so do his team. So we'll see.
He's certainly great at PR. He's made that very clear, and he has been for decades,
right.
Before.
The man knows how to sell Donald Trump. That's what he does better than anything else that he does or most people do.
Right, because nothing else is worth, I wouldn't say Donald Trump is worth selling either.
Let's not call it great at PR, though. I know a lot of people that work in PR that would be very insulted by those words. He's great at just consuming everything.
Yeah. Sucking up all the air in the room and making sure that everyone's talking about him.
I don't want to get hammered by PR friends.
To him, it's if you're talking about him, good or bad, it's a net plus.
And he's right.
100% net plus.
Yeah, and he's right.
So thanks, Steve. I appreciate that insight and looking forward to see what you have to say about the other topics we've got on our list today.
Okay.
Number one on our list are CNN town halls. So if our listeners aren't familiar, CNN ran this 5-hour gamut this past Monday where we had Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, and Mayor Pete Buttigieg do an hour each, back to back to back to back. Going over some of their policies and taking questions from the audience, it was a gauntlet. I sat through all of it. Jeff, I know you did as well.
Our text chain was on fire.
Yeah, we had texted back and forth. It was a long night, honestly.
We have the dorkiest political text chain of all time.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's fantastic.
Yeah. But let's talk about some quick winners and losers and where we feel people stand candidate-wise after watching their performance this past Monday on CNN. Jeff, we'll start with you. Who do you think is the big winner?
Elizabeth Warren.
Wow, not Pete.
Yeah. No, and if we're going down the list, I think Pete did more for himself probably than any other candidate because I think he held serve. And I think, the numbers coming in to back up the Google searches and all the interest in him being that he was in a tough spot.
At 11 p.m.
And I don't want to downplay and I'm not anything against Kamala Harris, but being after her was in a tough spot because she's not a front runner in this by any means. I mean, she's got a chance, but she's not up there. So having that break between Bernie and Warren and then to Pete, I think was a little bit of a tough spot to be in that late. But I think Elizabeth Warren killed it. I think she did a really good job. I think the policy stuff is standing out. And I think if I had to vote right now, she's right there. I mean, she did a really good job.
I'll actually agree with that. I think Warren comes away the big winner because she took questions and didn't shy away from any tough questions. She explained her history of being a Republican in the past and why she switched, essentially saying, look, I saw what was happening to consumers and that Republicans were all lined up against them on this one side, which is the one thing that's kind of swayed me a little bit to her. Because I really like that she has policy this early in the game.
I think everybody's kind of laying out their strategies now. And I think Pete's getting absolutely hammered right now because I don't think anybody can find anything else on him for not having the policies. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that plays out. I do think Warren, she was better than most at answering the questions direct on. I do think the one thing that Pete outpaced around, I don't think he walked around any of those questions. I think they were very direct, and I think of the questions that got asked to those candidates, the ones that were kind of out there as a hit job on Pete got asked to him about how he dealt with all the 1,000 homes in 1,000 days he wanted to tear down or fix. I think all that stuff came out in this, and he had to answer it directly. I don't know if that happened exactly with all the other candidates. So
Let's talk a little bit about that, provide some context for any listeners that don't know what that is. When Mayor Pete, he's in South Bend, Indiana, took office, he had proposed tearing down essentially 1,000 houses that were run down, houses that
or they couldn't find the owners.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's these derelict places, and he wanted to tear them down because, you know, it's just not good for...
Or fix them up.
Yeah, and it was like, that was the ultimatum, essentially. Correct. Yep. Fix this house up, or we'll tear it down.
Yep.
And a lot of landlords couldn't be found, so they tore these houses down. Where he's come under fire recently is the fact that a lot of these houses were owned by minorities that didn't have a lot of money, and it was their only source of wealth was owning this property. If they weren't in touch with the local government, their house is now gone.
Yeah.
As beat up as that house might have been.
Right.
What did they do to reach out to the people that own the houses? Like, what was their tactic to reach out to these people? Was it
from his words, this is politics, he said a lot of the ones that they couldn't get in touch with people were through subsidiaries where they would go and say 123 Warren Street, and they would go and look at who the owner was, and it was like 123 Warren Street LLC.
Okay.
So it's a lot of people that came into neighborhoods that probably in 2007, 2008 went through the downturn.
Right.
And this happened a lot. I'm from Michigan, and people just bought up blocks, right? Mm-hmm. With no intention of doing anything to it, just owning the land and hoping that someday that land turned into something and somebody would come and say, here's $1 million for your block and we'll take care of it.
We'll build an apartment complex here.
And again, I'm a big fan of this guy, so all this is going to come off as a defense, which is fine. But he was very big in saying, and I've read the articles on it, he met with these people that were upset and that felt that it was going wrong. He had conversations with them. I don't think it was you're not going to do anything that has 100% approval, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy got elected, and when he got reelected, it was almost an 80% approval on his reelection. So obviously he did something right in this. And we all know if you've been to neighborhoods that are downtrodden or in lower income areas, some of the worst things in those neighborhoods can be the empty boarded up houses, right? Because bad stuff happens in those houses just naturally. I mean, that's where you get your drug dens, and a lot of times, you know, things.
I thought you would say that's where you get your drugs, as if you know.
I do, and yes, and you know, so I think that's the point of this was in that I think a lot of the things that people are going at him for, and rightfully so, these are great questions. I think he took head on in there. And I don't think all the other candidates, some of the tougher questions, were great at that. We talked about Kamala Harris. She was very big on saying, that's a great discussion we should have. Yeah. I mean, that was her stock answer to some of this stuff. Even Elizabeth Warren, when she was asked what she would do different from Obama, she turned that into a completely different question and walked
praising around Obama
it.
And the consumer protection.
Yeah. So again, acts. I think she won the night, and I want to get to what you thought, who won the night. But I will say that if you're asking me who answered the questions directly, maybe not succinctly, but who answered them directly, I think Pete did the best job of that.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say Warren also, but you guys were talking before about like policy.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this doesn't come off as obtuse, but does that almost even matter? Like we just, right?
It's something we debate a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Off air.
Not anymore.
It doesn't, right? Like, no. So, like, listen, if you're asking me right now, like if the election was tomorrow, who I'd put up as the Democratic nominee of what I've seen so far. Like, I think Elizabeth Warren has by far the most, like, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And mm-hmm. It's great. I like a lot of it. But I, like you obviously guys just talking about, I'm not sure that translates into actually winning an election or you know. So.
I think you bring up the biggest point. I think Democrats are going to have to deal with inside of the party now is that we just watched somebody win the election with zero policy.
Right.
So, everything was just 3,500 feet. It's going to be the best. It's the grandest. Yeah. It's the best.
Right.
Like, know how we're getting there, what we're doing, or no plan to get there behind it. Right. So, we're having, I think, when we talk about this, Kevin, we talk about it a lot, like you just said, it's a moral infight of we are going to become the party that just wants to get this fucking White House back and let's move in the direction we want to from that point. are we willing to go down that road to win this election? Or are we going to stand on our morals, what we wanted to do, and go with Elizabeth Warren, who's going to have all the policy answers? And I think you brought up a great point there, because I don't think we know what we're doing yet.
I think that is a great point. And let's remember that in 2016, Hillary Clinton also came out firing with policy. Like pages after policy and pages after policy. And pages right. of policy. People didn't pay attention to it.
They never really have.
I can't believe how many times I'd watch pundits saying, well, we don't know what she stands for. I'm like, well, then you're clearly not paying attention. Because
they were
she's
watching,
been putting it out for months.
They were watching Wall and Make America Great. I mean, it was right. all these big, big, grandiose
And again,
moves.
That and that's something that concerns me so much about where the country's going politically, that we don't care about policy.
And I think this, I'm not saying where you were going, but the biggest criticism of Pete, and it's huge right now. I mean, it's people are hammering it. There's just no policy with him.
Oh, I was one of those people in a text message to you.
But I mean, is he wrong for this? Is he or is he like going, hey?
Well, you were just saying that depends on where the Democratic Party wants to go.
Right.
And like at this point, like policy, of course, like should matter, has to matter.
Right.
But you also have to win the White House.
Yeah.
Like you have to win the White House right now. And like I said earlier, and then the first thing you asked me, like, I don't think we're going to. And and that's kind of why. Like, we're not going to play by the same rules, and we don't have the people to play by the same rules that Donald Trump plays by. And he's better at what he does than we are at what we do, right now at least. And so that's where I was going with
yeah,
with
and I mean, it's playing out. So Elizabeth Warren went up there, killed it. Policy, policy, policy.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete told his stories. He told them well. I think he was engaging and a good public speaker.
I'll agree.
And we're coming out of this, and you're looking at the numbers from this, and he's lapping the field with her on his, especially in New Hampshire. And so guess what? Like, we are not motivating these politicians to be policy-wise. We're motivating them to be, you've used the term a lot. We had a long text called to personality.
Yeah.
We've motivated a lot to, and I will say this for Pete. He's been upfront with this. He's told us that he's going to show us where his values are before he shows us where his policies are. He's going to let us know these are the values, then I'll get to the policies. So,
and that's exactly what I was about to bring up, is the fact that Pete made that comment during the town hall saying that, yeah, the policy's there. I have it. It'll be on my website soon. It should be there
it's
already.
It's there today.
Pete. All right. But yeah.
So he only had 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The search engine kind of sucks, but it's there.
So whatever. Let that be. I know Warren released her policies early, but he was saying he's going to let his values speak for who he is rather than his policies, and that by extension, we can just assume that he thinks his values will decide what positions he's going to take.
I don't think he said it's going to speak for him instead. I think he's going to say speak for him first.
Certainly.
Just be,
yeah,
you,
yeah.
You know what
that's,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He wants to lead with that.
Right.
That's his leadoff hitter.
I'll agree. I think it's splitting hairs, but that's probably more what he meant.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll agree. Warren obviously took the opposite approach, but I think there's something to be said by somebody that's putting out their policies up front and saying, here's what I believe, flat out. You can infer what my values are from these policies, because now here they are right in front of you. Judge them all you want. And I kind of respect that it leaves her no wiggle room, because she's taken a stance. Where Mayor Pete could come out and say, well, let's see how this plays out in the debates. And then I could take a stance later on. And if Warren's policies play well, those are now my values.
Yeah. Elizabeth Warren's not playing this as a game. This is who she is.
Yeah. Game. And I think there's something to be said about that, because convictions
are something I... But does that win you an election?
That's crazy. That should be a good thing.
Exactly. That the question of whether or not that's a good thing, like, it should be a good thing.
Right.
Those convictions are something we should want in a president. We should understand what they believe in,
and
what policies they're going to enforce, because we have a president that has no beliefs in anything.
Right. No.
And it would be so refreshing to get the polar opposite of that in the next election.
In a vacuum, Elizabeth Warren is the perfect candidate, right? In a vacuum. If we're just talking about, here's the policies, here's who she is, we haven't had a female president, she's checking every box that we need her to check, and she's not winning this.
Well, I'm saying, you asked me today, though, who I want to win, it's Elizabeth Warren. And at this moment, I will do everything in my power volunteering to help her do that, because right now she's the only person qualified to do it.
How do you feel coming out of this debate?
Like, kind of what you guys just said. Like Kev just said, that should be what matters. In a vacuum, like, that should be what matters. It should be the policy. I'm also someone, though, like, that I think we're all on the same side politically, but if someone disagrees with me and I believe that they're genuine people, I can absolutely have a conversation with them and even follow them, even if I don't agree. Like, I can follow them. The idea of someone, the values coming first, isn't the worst idea to me, because it shows if they're a genuine person, they follow through on the values and their policies actually follow through what they're showing originally. I'm not against that whatsoever. And that's why I actually like Mayor Pete also. I think Pete's great.
And that'll reinforce those
And that'll
values.
Reinforce that, yeah. Exactly what he was
And it's like
about.
We're trying to read the last page of the book before we read the first, right? I mean, this is a, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Right.
Like,
right.
I think one of the things is, do we need every policy for this candidate that isn't even running for president yet?
Right.
Like, he's just trying to be the Democratic nominee. Like,
right.
You got to get yourself on that stage first. You got to get yourself in that part of the fight. And if you're looking at this from a competition standpoint, knowing where all your competitors stand, they have no idea where you stand. Pretty good competitive advantage when we started getting into debates.
It worked well for Trump.
Yeah, it's true.
No one knew where he was coming from one debate to another.
Neither did he. So
right.
That's true.
Not the same
thing. Right. Not saying you just compared Pete
but
to
you
Trump.
But you imagine,
which,
you know,
which Pete's getting hammered for comparing Bernie supporters to Trump supporters.
So you might need that's not what I meant.
You might need the same downfall. Yeah. Of course, that's not what you meant.
But yeah, I meant the point of keeping people on their toes, not knowing where you're coming from, makes for a more
It's hard to fight
debate.
Somebody if you don't know if they're lefty or righty.
Exactly. That makes me very excited for the debates, honestly.
I do want to say one thing coming out of that, though. You just said you will do everything you can for Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
And I have been close the last 2 weeks of flipping from Pete to Warren. And
what?
Really flipping.
Does Pete know?
No. And I'm going to tell you this.
Yeah. I'm so sorry you had to hear it over a podcast, Pete.
After watching those town halls, I'm 100% in Mayor Pete's corner. I think that... I think just the way he was up there, I think that guy can stand on the stage with Donald Trump, and I don't think he's going to get fazed. And I think that's going to be a huge part of winning this election. And I know all the people I deal with on Twitter about this, policy, policy, policy. I know it matters. And at the end of the day, I'm not going to vote for somebody that doesn't have any policies. Like, that won't happen. Yeah. But if this guy comes out with the stuff that I care about and makes sense, I can see that guy on a stage just not getting baited into this fight and really going toe-to-toe with him. And he's got the resume, and I'm fully Mayor Pete.
I think that's fair. And again, it's so early, and my opinion could change depending on what happens in the debates going forward.
Who
that's
would you vote
excited.
For right now if we had to do it tomorrow?
Probably Biden, actually. he wasn't even involved. Yeah. So
can you tell us why?
I don't think that Elizabeth Warren right now has a great fighting chance against Donald Trump. I think she is a better candidate in every conceivable aspect of Donald Trump.
100%. So why wouldn't that make her better?
Because I don't think she can get down and dirty like he can, and people will respond to it. I don't think it's fair. It's an unfair fight because she's a woman. She can't, like, if she gave him back half of what he's going to give to her, people will not respond to it the way they would Donald Trump giving it to her. It's just
and if she tries to policy him to death,
he'll ignore it. It's like
you're fighting against a wall,
right?
And it's
not right.
He's not going to care.
But that is just what it is right at this moment. That's just how I think it is. Okay. I hope I'm wrong. That'd be great. Mayor Pete, I don't know enough about, honestly. Like, again, I'm not sure what his policy is yet.
Not many people. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
he does,
and then
we'll find out.
I like him. He's charismatic. I think he, like you were saying, definitely has a chance. I just think, at some point, we need to have an adult in the room. Joe Biden has spent his whole political career doing this. He's more of a centrist than people are these days. But he wasn't always. Like, if you look back at the political landscape, he used to be more on the left than people were, and now he's more in the middle because of how it's going.
Everything shifted.
Yeah. Right, but I'm tired of being embarrassed by our president, and I don't think he'll really embarrass us politically globally like we are right now.
So are we all just hoping Bernie goes away? We're ignoring it.
Yeah. All right. So let's address the elephant.
Let's talk to Bernie. Yeah. Let's talk about Bernie.
And we've avoided talking about Bernie on this podcast because I know it incites some impassioned fandom here. I thought Bernie did well in this town hall, but nothing about it changed the fact that I do not want a president who's going to be close to 90 years old. Assume if he won two terms, you know.
He would need to come out and say, I'm only doing four, and he can never do that.
Yeah.
It's because political suicide.
Right. Right.
I've never been behind the whole Bernie movement, and here we'll get our hate mail now from this.
Do you know? He's probably going to win this, right? I mean, we're all on the same page.
I don't think he will.
I'm just saying, if we had it right now, look at the polling numbers and the money he has behind him.
He's
odds on favorite.
He's got great fundraising, but we have to remember that political junkies like us, people in the Northeast, where we are based out of, skew much more liberal than the vast majority of the country. I know. And while
I'm not talking about there's president, a lot of huge though.
Population of those people, like when we talk in our text messages, we have our producer over there, Yagnish, who always talks about the average voter. The average Democrat is not voting for Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Plain and simple.
Again, we're not talking about getting to the presidency, though. He right now is prohibitively the odds-on favorite to win the nomination for the Democratic Party.
So let me...
He's got to get run down. I mean, that's all there is to it. And Biden's very close, and Buttigieg is way behind. But, I mean, if it happened right now, that's happening.
I'm interested to see because right now, you know, Bernie has had a jump in the polls. But I think part of that is also because Biden's not running yet. Right. Officially. And by the time this podcast drops, he may have announced, we're recording this on a Wednesday. The news is that he's supposed to announce his candidacy on Thursday, the 25th of April. So we'll find out. But for Joe Biden, at least, he was able to sit at the top of the polls without even announcing a candidacy. Yeah. So he was able to sit on the sidelines for a long time.
Let's not overlook Bernie.
I don't think we should overlook him.
This could legitimately happen.
I agree it's a possibility.
So I would have said 4 years ago he can never win, but do you think it's possible if he gets nominated this year with the amount of money behind him that he could beat Trump because there'd be so many I can't vote for Trump, I'll vote for whoever the Democrat is, and he's such a good fundraiser that he might... I think
it's a possibility.
I want to also state that I'm actually with you. I don't think this is really true, but I think that if he ever could win, it would be in 2020 because of how crazy polarized it is that people will look past all the issues that they might have with him, and if you're not a complete centrist to the right at all, you will vote for him anyway because he's gonna be able to raise so much money. I still think Trump's gonna win, unfortunately, but I feel like Sanders or Biden will be the ones who could actually get that funding to get out there enough to give him a run. That being said, I think
he is our worst case scenario.
Just because
I think that is the most uninspiring race, like you just said, Kevin, outside of the Northeast and the people that support Trump and the Bible Belt and the South. It's just that is an absolute disaster for our party, for everybody else.
We can talk about that.
I actually agree.
It's so uninspiring.
I agree.
It's terrible.
We're actually all on the same page here.
And I like his policies.
Steve and I just talked about this over dinner, where if you want to be the Democratic nominee, one of the worst things you could do right now, and fair or not, is to brand yourself as a socialist.
Well, we were talking about this before. It's just like, do the Democrats a favor and rebrand yourself. Have the same exact policies and call yourself something different, because... Even someone like me, I have a hard time with that word. I know what it means.
But it's been turned into a pejorative.
The context is so bad.
Right. It's been turned into a pejorative, and most people are going to hear that and say, I don't like socialism.
I'm not voting for communist light. And it's like, that's what the Tea Party did so well.
Even though it's not even close.
I know. But the Tea Party did that so well. The Tea Party, if we're being totally honest, is basically just neo-fascism. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Right? But... people who are not fascists will never vote for someone called this a neo-fascist. But right. if they believe in 80% or 60, let's say 60% of what the Tea Party stands for, I like that policy, that policy, that policy. I'm not a big fan of that, what they say there, but I like a lot of it. I can vote for someone called the Tea Party. I can't do it for someone called the socialist. That's my point.
You're not going to vote for someone that calls themselves a Nazi.
Right.
And you're not going to vote for someone that calls themselves a communist.
Right.
Or a socialist.
But obviously, and this actually came up during the town halls, where one of the women in the audience asked a question, saying, hey, my family fled Soviet Russia.
Fantastic
and communism.
Question.
I saw his answer.
Asked Bernie Sanders, why should we trust your policies? And I think he did a good job saying,
I think Bernie did a good job on this.
What I stand for is not autocratic communism.
Right, but here's the problem. And I think his answer is absolutely correct. But if you call yourself a socialist, if someone didn't see that answer or hear how he said it, they see the word socialist, they automatically think communist, and then that's what, just give us a break. Give us something else.
Yeah. Some words you can't own. We have to figure out a better way to explain where they're trying to go.
Right.
Can I ask you guys one question, though, that was, I think, the biggest talking point coming out of this? It was about the voting rights. And I think probably everybody at this table is really big on expanding them as far as we can expand them. But Bernie took it wildly
to the
far.
Logical extreme.
Bernie decided to say every single person needs the right to vote. And as soon as I heard it, it caught me off guard. I was with my wife. I was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I thought about it for, I sat with it for a minute. I started to kind of come around and then I went back to where I was probably originally at. But what did you guys take by? And to catch everybody up, the big thing in there is one of the people said, if there's a rapist in prison, somebody that molested children, or like the Boston Marathon bomber.
Yeah, let's use that as
the
most
biggest
extreme
one that people came to, although those other ones are just as extreme. They asked him, should those people have the right to vote? And Bernie unequivocally said yes.
Which no other candidate has.
And not after they serve their term. Well in prison.
Well
right?
in prison.
He
yeah,
said
that's
everybody well in prison should have the right to vote under, there's no restrictions to this. How'd you guys take that?
I'm very torn on this issue, honestly. Personally, I've been of the mindset that you should have your right to vote reinstated upon completing your sentence. You've paid your debt
to
society.
Pete's take. And I think Elizabeth Warren's.
And that's essentially what Florida just voted in. That's now being held up. But again, another story for another day. But if you're a felon that completes your sentence, you paid your debt, you get your voting rights back. While you're in prison, I have a tough time letting rapists and murderers vote.
You have not paid anything. You're paying your debt to society. So until you've to even have this conversation with me, you have to have paid your debt to society. I have a hard time the other one as well. Like, I don't know. Because here's the problem with, and I guess we'll get to it now because I'll bring it up. The slippery slope aspect of it, like, who gets to be the arbiter of where that line actually is?
You're exactly right.
Yeah, it's so tough because, like, theoretically speaking, yeah, you paid your debt to society. You're now back to being in society. Part of the rights of an American citizen is the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that makes sense. Think about it. Why does it make sense? But if I'm, let my feelings come into it for a second. If you're like a pedophile, I don't care what you have to say. I don't want to hear what your vote is.
Even after they come out of jail?
Yeah, because I'll almost never believe you're rehabilitated. So you might have got out of jail, but I don't, it may be unfair. I don't know. But the problem with that line of thought is, and which you guys are going to get to it in a second, I'm sure, mm-hmm. is, okay, well, who gets to be arbiter of where that line stops?
Right.
So
yeah.
It's child
molester. Pedophiles don't get the right back, but a murderer that has done 20 years does.
The history of our country, we have a really tough time when we start drawing lines.
Right.
We're defeated historically and we come to the war on drugs. We talk about prison sentences, how minorities are treated. When we start drawing lines, we're really bad at drawing lines. And I think you make a great point there. I don't think you can give the right to vote of people currently incarcerated and draw lines on it. I just don't think you can.
But we actually are right now. Right now we're saying if you're ever a felon, you lost the right to vote. So that actually.
Yeah. And again, we're bad at drawing lines. And who does that benefit? We've seen who it benefits. We've seen the gerrymandering. We've seen the towns and the states that try to hold that down.
I like how you took that
others.
To a literal drawing of lines.
No, it really is though, right? I mean, no, but it really is. Like they've scientifically figured out the way to suppress the votes that will hurt their party.
This also, and we might discuss it later, it also comes though down to like who is the one doing
in charge
this,
of doing
right?
it. Do we allow maybe non-violent offenders to vote?
We can't draw these lines.
And that's
it's tough though because again, like
I think in prison, out of prison is a pretty clear line.
Right. Like if it's such a weird conversation to have, but like let's say you steal millions of dollars from poor people, like from a charity.
It was non-violent.
Like, that's non-violent. That's,
you're a real
that's
scumbag.
Despicable.
Yeah.
Like, right? So why should you get a right to vote more than somebody got in a fight one time?
Yeah.
And I think Bernie's thing was, listen, nothing shocked me in those debates. I don't think anybody went on some crazy ledge. That was the one that I was like watching TV. Yeah. I was like, did he just? I'll give Bernie a lot of credit on this. He didn't blink.
I will say this about Bernie Sanders. I said this even, I guess, 3 years ago now. I believe what he says he believes. And that is super important when it comes to like someone that I disagree with. Like
we talked about convictions earlier.
Right. Yep. I disagree with a lot of what he says, but I know in my heart that he believes what he's saying. And that's.
And some of that too is, and this sounds awful, but the age thing, right? I mean, we all have grandparents.
Yeah.
You're not changing your 7-year-old grandparents' mind on anything.
Right.
But I also under think, any circumstance.
But I also think like, more important, like he can't get bought. Like so if someone has a different opinion than him and he gives him $30 million,
you can spend this two ways. One, he can't get bought, but then he also has probably some views that maybe need to be changed a little bit because times change.
Good point.
But We just talked about murderers, rapists, and pedophiles. Can we do a shot?
Yeah, yes. That's going to be some heavy topic there. Let's wash our mouths out.
Glad to be here, guys.
Solid. That was some good whiskey. All right, let's lighten this up a little bit and play a little game.
This is going to be embarrassing.
We've got this recurring segment that I'm really enjoying where we quiz our guests on one of the Democratic primary candidates.
I didn't study.
Yeah, well, you don't even know who this is going to be about yet, so that's the point.
Yeah.
So we're going to ask our guest, Steve, 5 questions about one of the potential candidates. I'll let you know now. It's about Cory Booker.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you about Cory Booker today, ask you 5 questions that are going to be multiple choice. Don't worry.
Thank you.
You have a chance.
The answer is C.
And we'll make it into a little bit of a drinking game. So, Steve, if you get these questions right, Jeff and I will drink. If you get them wrong, you'll be drinking.
All right.
You ready?
Ready.
Let's start this off. Question number 1. In 2009... Cory Booker was offered a position in Obama's White House, but turned it down to focus on his commitments as mayor of Newark, New Jersey. The position he declined was from which office?
I was going to say true.
True.
Not a true or false question. I'm sorry, buddy. A, the Office of Public Liaison. B, Office of Digital Strategy. C, Office of Cabinet Affairs. Or D, Office of Urban Affairs.
I'm going to say C.
You're going with Office of Cabinet Affairs?
Yes, I am.
I'm sorry. The answer is actually Office of Urban Affairs D.
The Cabinet Affairs doesn't even exist.
No, actually, all of these are actual offices.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I feel chagrin, but I like drinking. So
you like drinking. So this.
Oh, I got to do a shot? I thought I was thinking.
We sip on it.
No, not yet. Okay. Not yet. All right.
If you want to do the shot, you can.
No, I'll just drink
the goza. We won't stop you.
I'll drink the goza. It's delicious. Yeah. That was goza gone hopped.
Hear that? Whoa. Throw some ad dollars our way.
That's right.
Question number 2. It's a personal question about Cory Booker.
Ooh.
Oh, not about me.
Not you. Okay.
Why did you pick Cory Booker for him? Just
random.
Just randomly?
Yeah. It's
Are you a fan of Cory Booker?
I don't really know a lot about him, so this is going to be a
good You're learning.
Oh, it's fantastic. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Learning exercise. I
you
love
picked
this.
The one guy that wasn't in the town hall.
Yeah, it really hurt me.
Question 2.
Yes.
Cory Booker is currently dating which actress?
I know this, actually.
A, Mindy Kaling.
No.
B, Rosario Dawson. C, Kerry Washington. D, Charlize Theron.
I think it's B, Rosario Dawson.
Rosario Dawson is correct.
Yes.
That's why he might get
Good
my vote.
You.
Yes. That's
what she's
saying. All right, Steve, you are 1-1 right now.
So I love that I got that answer right.
Yeah.
Not the first
not
one.
Not 1-1. Yeah. 1-2.
Okay. One ball, one and 1-1.
No, yeah. We're not redoing really that. All I'm right. Here for you, bud. Listen, you didn't tell Very me the right. questions up front, so I can at least keep score.
Okay.
Okay.
Question number 3. Cory Booker attended which of these law schools?
I might know this.
A, Harvard. B, Yale. C, Columbia. D, Stanford.
I want to say Columbia, so I'm going to.
You said it, but you're incorrect.
Damn.
Can I guess?
Jeff, you want to guess?
Stanford. He looks like the coach.
Also incorrect.
Oh.
He actually went to Stanford for his undergrad, got a degree in poli science there, but got his law degree from Yale.
He's a smart dude. I will drink.
He does look like David Shaw.
Question number 4. Health-wise, Cory Booker is known for abstaining from alcohol and other vices. So suffice it to say, he's not going to be making as a host on this show.
It's fair.
But on the health topic, which of these diets does Cory Booker follow?
Is this a true story?
This is true. A, is he a vegetarian? B, pescatarian? C, vegan? Or D, is this a trick question and he's a carnivore?
I'm going to go with vegan.
That's right, actually.
Yeah.
Cory Booker is a vegan as of 2014.
Drink up, boys.
Was a vegetarian beforehand, but has since converted.
Good work.
Jeff and I will drink to that.
Yeah. Nothing better in life than a game 5 or a game 7.
Damn right.
And now guess what? Our host, our guest, has a game 5 on the line for a shot of whiskey.
Here we go.
Let's rock.
You ready? How you feeling?
I'm really nervous.
Are you nervous?
Super
yeah.
Nervous.
That flop sweat is just dude, insane.
Just, why are you sweating?
Dude, I'm sorry about the table, man. I'm really scared.
This is another a little fun question. A little pop culture.
Let's go for
it.
Question number 5 and our final question to see who wins. Cory Booker appeared on an episode of Parks and Recreation with Senator Orrin Hatch.
What?
What?
Yes, this actually
happened. I
watched
this show too.
1961?
It was in the final season of Parks and Rec. I believe the episode was Mrs. Dwyer Goes to Washington. In that episode, the duo said they were part of a Polynesian folk band called what?
Game five, baby.
A.
Let's go.
Bridging the divide. B. Across the aisle. C. Hatch in the Bookers. D. People power.
So I really want it to be Hatch in the Bookers. That's a great. I want it to be my band name. That's great. I'm going to go with B.
Across the aisle?
Across the aisle.
That is the correct answer.
Hey! Nice job by you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well done.
I'm very proud of myself. I was nervous.
You should.
Yeah.
You should be proud of yourself. Let's bring this back down to earth for a second here and talk about some Mueller Report updates. So, if you are not familiar with what was released, check out our special. We dropped it on this past Monday. Jeff and I and our good friend Dennis went through the Mueller Report, the biggest takeaways. We gave our feedback on it. Check that out. So, what's happened since? The biggest news right now is that we've got some subpoenas dropping from the Judiciary Committee under Representative Jerry Nadler of New York. Most importantly, they have subpoenaed former White House counsel Don McGahn. This was essentially Donald Trump's lawyer in the White House. And they asked him to testify before Congress on May 21st, so a little less than a month from now, and provide any relevant documents by May 7th. Right now, Trump is telling Don McGahn, do not cooperate with this subpoena.
Like obstructing justice?
It's not at that level yet, but certainly inching that way. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
There's a pattern here that we can certainly see. Don McGahn, I'm not even sure he'll comply and show up, but he's absolutely not going. Yeah. We do need to see what he has to say. And right now, we don't know. But as we're talking about the Mueller report, that brings me to something we didn't get to in our special episode this past Monday, which is the discussion of impeachment. Where does the Mueller report bring the government right now? Do Democrats try to impeach Trump? Is that politically prudent for them? Should they do it? Do they have a responsibility to? Let's dive a little bit into that. So, Jeff, I know you have some strong feelings.
So this has probably been the biggest argument that I've gone back and forth on in terms of politics, maybe in my life. Right? I came in very strong with we should impeach. And I spent time talking to Kevin about it. And in about 3 hours, I was like, you're right. We should not do this. It's political suicide. Let's let the voters decide because it's a very short period of time. And let's let them impeach him. We don't need to do this. Let's let the voters do it. And then, you know, I keep coming back to the fact that we have a job to do. And people have been voted in to take care of our democracy and our country and do the right thing. And when we start politicizing those jobs, when we start saying, you know, if you do your job the right way, it's going to hurt us politically going forward, I think we're playing into exactly what Trump wants us to do. The biggest thing for him... So I don't make this unclear. I want us to impeach the fuck out of this president. And here's the reason why. If we don't, his running platform is going to be Democrats couldn't impeach me. They didn't bring up charges because I was completely cleared on this. And I am completely convinced that is how he will run in 2020. There will not be a question. That will be the number one thing he says if we don't bring impeachment. He is going to bring it on top. But like, I know for a fact, this is exactly what he's going to do. And so it's going to be twofold. We are going to not do our job as congresspeople in the House or the Senate, even if we're going to lose to bring him up on impeachment charges because we should have the public hearings. And secondly, he's going to run with it in 2020 and bury us because he's going to show that we're weak of character and weak of mind and we didn't have a chance to do it. So that's my complete thought on this. I was back and forth, and Kevin will shoot to the fact that when we were together that day, I came to your side. I was like, we shouldn't impeach. It's political suicide, but now I think it's political suicide to not do it.
So it's funny. I also have flip-flopped on this a bunch, but you brought up the fact that Trump is going to run on a message saying that he, you know, wasn't impeached. The Mueller report never said he should be brought up on charges, et cetera, et cetera. Problem is, whether or not the House moves to impeach him, that's his message anyway. He's going to say, the Mueller report said I'm innocent. Whether or not they impeach him, I don't think that matters. I think his message is almost identical at the end of the day. So
we sleep better at night if we do it. That's all.
This is where I struggle because I think there is a case that actually Elizabeth Warren laid out in her town hall saying what you actually just reiterated.
Do your job.
That this is your job.
Yep.
As the House, you have a responsibility to impeach a president
and that just
has
the House,
improper
by the way.
Behavior. The Senate will never get a two-thirds vote to convict a president or this particular president. So,
Steve, how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough because, like, as I guess Elizabeth Warren, like you just said, Kevin, Elizabeth Warren, she's right. Like, they have a job to do. And if they think the facts warrant this impeachment process,
it shouldn't be
a conversation. They should do it. However, and it's like, it's so gross to even say this, but like, you want to win in 2020. Him saying they didn't impeach me is a lot different than actually taking the L. If you try to impeach, it's not going to work. Like, if you go for impeachment process and you get through, even get through the House, you get through the House.
Right.
It goes to the Senate and it gets knocked down. He can say, I literally was impeached and I'm still here. I won. Where if he doesn't get impeached and doesn't go through the Senate, he can just say, oh, it wasn't enough information to be. It's, I mean, yeah, it's two sides of the same coin, but you weren't actually given the L.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second here.
Please, because I want to be wrong with this. Yeah. Yeah, please.
He can 100% be impeached.
Yes.
Because the House has that power. They have a Democratic majority. All they need to do is get the Democrats behind it.
It happened in our lifetime. It happened with Clinton.
It happened. Exactly.
Yeah, let's remember the benefits of impeachment. Public hearings.
Right. And we don't necessarily need impeachment to get those public hearings, which we'll talk about in a second. But what do people remember about Bill Clinton? They remember he was impeached.
Monica Lewinsky, Ken Starr.
Do they remember his impeachment, really, though?
But they remember the Monica Lewinsky stuff. And they remember the
Ken
special
Starr.
Counsel investigation.
Yeah, they remember that. I swear to God, if you asked 30 people on the street.
Very good president.
Yeah, I'm not sure they actually remember he was impeached. Like, I think they
You think so?
I don't know they would.
No, I don't think anybody.
That's interesting.
I don't think that's in the top 10.
It's one of the first things I think about when I think about Bill Clinton.
Really?
You do this. Yeah. Like, you know this.
That's not in the
But
top.
I wonder, because when
they
you look at Bill Clinton.
Sorry, they would say Nixon was, and he wasn't. They would say Nixon was.
Right.
And he
resigned.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't think they would know that.
Nixon was impeached, but not convicted in the Senate.
Correct. Sorry.
Impeachment comes up for Nixon for me. It's not in the top 20 things about Bill Clinton.
Right.
And I guess that's where I kind of know what your answers are now. The question I was going to pose was, when people look back at Clinton, you know, he was impeached by the House.
Yeah.
And then the Senate decided not to proceed. And he took a huge boost out of that.
Yeah, I just think that, like, when I think impeachment, not me, but, like, well, me too, I guess. Like, I think impeachment, I think that means you're actually taken out of office. Right.
That's not the legal
and 99% of the
process
time it wouldn't lead
it.
To that.
Right. So, like, I know that Bill Clinton was impeached, but he still did his 8 years. So, to me, it's almost like he wasn't impeached. Like, that almost like, that's like you said, I would say 20. That's like top 20 on the things he actually did. Trump would take this as a win. Like, he would take literally getting impeached but not losing in the Senate as a win.
Well, I think what you're saying, Kevin, is probably the best take of this. So no matter what happens, he's taking this to the win, right? So we don't impeach him at all. We don't even bring this up. And he's running on that so hard. So you're right about that. However, so if we can't win either way, my thought is do your job.
Go down fighting.
Not even fighting, but like, if you really believe, you read the report and you think this guy did impeachable things, impeach him, because we're not winning anyways on this topic unless he's, again, like when the Mueller report came out and we talked about this, the only way we won, right, is if he was hauled off in handcuffs. The only way Fox News was going to come out and say, oh my God, Donald Trump did this, was if handcuffs were involved.
That's iffy, but yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it had to be definitive.
You have to have this
there couldn't be a gray area, yeah, right? So absolutely. We know there's going to be a gray area on this impeachment thing. So our job now is either impeach or not impeach. And I think we have to do it. I was laughing with the Yogs about government class in high school. We talked about checks and balances. And I think if we
remember
do
those?
This,
remember those?
Yeah.
No,
they used to exist.
No, I actually think it's a joke now. Yeah. Like, I think if we don't go for impeachment here, like, all that stuff's nonsense.
You are right. I mean, you almost have to. Like,
you're right. It does cede too much power to the executive branch. Right. If Congress is not going to use their constitutional given powers in the House, they have the power of impeachment. the Senate has the power to try those impeachments.
Yep. Right.
And if they're not going to exercise those,
then what are we doing here?
Essentially, you're ceding that power to the executive branch and saying, you know, you get away with murder.
And Kevin, after sitting with the report for a little while, do you feel that Robert was saying push this?
There's a few times actually in the report where he explicitly says, I cannot make this determination, but Congress has the power to investigate this further.
And we got that
at least three times.
And we got really deep into that on the last podcast. Yeah. But do you feel now like, because you were one of the bigger ones that said don't impeach.
Yeah. And
so
I
can you
think,
walk us through what your thought process was?
Yeah. So, okay. Again, I've struggled with this question. I've flipped back and forth on it. And I was a huge proponent of not impeaching at first. And after I initially read the Mueller report, I said, you know, this isn't going to convince anybody one way or the other. There was a, I wish I could remember the journalist's name, but essentially they said, this is a Rorschach test for people. You're going to see what you want to see out of this.
Absolutely.
So my initial reaction to it was that, yeah, there are some potential crimes and some actual crimes in
actual
crimes laid out in here that deserve impeachment. But is it politically smart to do so? Because we are a year and what, five, you know, a year and a few months from
eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. An eternity. But a year and a few months from the next election where we can just vote this guy out. Will it be worth going through all of that as a country?
So
I don't know. I've struggled with that question. I also struggle with the idea that there are a lot of people that I believe, and this might be conspiratorial of me. So
do tell.
Yeah, well, I think if we impeach him, I think that leads to actual violence.
Well, the turnover of the country might lead to actual violence. How do you feel about this, Steve? How do you...
Again, back to the beginning, I don't think that Democrats are going to win anyway. I think we're going to lose it regardless. I think Trump, impeached or not, no matter who runs against Trump, he's going to win regardless. Doesn't make a difference.
Trump will
win, yes. So literally 40 minutes ago, I would have said, don't impeach him. But Elizabeth Warren, I think, is right. You got to do your job.
Should we hold our moral fiber now?
Right. You might as well. And
you can't pick and choose that shit.
And yeah. That's where I fall down.
And that's
now
what their
too.
Job is to do. And
it's like we talked about Bernie with the voting rights, right? You start drawing lines, it gets really weird.
Right.
If we're like, we might win the election, so let's draw the line now and not impeach because
if you see a legitimate crime committed, you have to, like, that's your job.
Yeah, say something.
You got to do something about
otherwise
it.
Otherwise, you're implicitly giving
see something,
approval
say something.
To it.
Yeah. I've heard that.
Before we get to things to watch, do you think if somebody like Mitt Romney tries to primary Trump?
Okay.
And comes in, and we get a lot of Republican inside there, and hits him with the report from the inside. Do you think that gives a better shot? Do you think that's our only shot?
Like, I just don't think it'll happen. I think that is a shot. I think if there's an established Republican that other Republicans...
Would Romney be the guy?
He lost already, though. Like, Trump will hammer
him. But is there another Republican that's even got the couth?
I don't think there is.
Romney's probably the name, Romney's, right?
Yeah,
if he primaries
McCain
Trump...
McCain would have been the only
McCain
other
would have been. McCain would have been, but yeah.
Rest in power.
I just think that the Democratic side has played is the wrong word, but played this all wrong.
So as we sit here right now, Trump's doing 8 years in your mind.
I think. Well, the only person in my lifetime who didn't do the full eight was the first George Bush.
Yep.
And he got Ross Perot. Like, Ross Perot was a freaking huge outlier in it, like, out of nowhere. So, you know, I don't know.
My mom voted for Ross Perot.
Really?
There you go.
Kevin, we're going to obviously deep dive crazy into all of this, but how do you feel about that? Do you think there needs to be like a Mitt coming in to break this down, or do you think
it certainly help?
Yeah,
certainly would help.
No, it'd help up to the primaries,
and
100%.
Right, and I think Mitt Romney would help split that Republican vote through the primaries and kind of splinter that party a little bit as far as voting goes. But at the end of the day, I still think Donald Trump wins a Republican primary. Let's focus only on what Democrats can control here, and Democrats have a lot of control about their policies and who's there. To tie this back to the impeachment thing, I respect the shit out of the fact that Elizabeth Warren came out flat out the only
candidate that
has said, hey, yes, let's do this.
What did Pete say?
He danced around it.
Now he said the right answer.
Which
I'm not
in
the Congress and they should do their job.
Not. Yeah. All right.
Nah.
Sure. Okay. That's falling short of saying Congress should impeach. That's passing the buck is what that is.
I know. I'm a stan.
Yeah, we can tell.
More P guy.
But I think it's a very valid concern to worry about whether or not that's going to work, because literally, like, the last poll from Politico has only 34% of voters thinking that impeachment is a prudent thing to undertake. And that's actually down from January.
I say, unless Mueller had actually said impeach his president or, you know, what, something like that, it wouldn't make it. It wouldn't make it.
And that
that's
come,
to my
right?
next point, because I'm not saying that we're going to get a smoking gun or anything, but we do need to have Mueller testify before Congress, and he needs to clarify what he meant in this report. That's the next step we take before we start talking about impeachment.
Right.
Because every single House investigation, we were not going to get a Senate Intelligence Committee investigation because it's Republican run. We will see it in the House. Every investigation we get where we have a Robert Mueller in front of them or a Don McGahn or it's going to be tough to get more of the inner circle to actually testify. But every day where we can get them in front of cameras, in front of the public, telling them, hey, this is my interpretation of the facts, I think that wears down Trump's walls there a little bit. It's not going to be like an ice dragon breaking down the wall, but it'll wear it down a little
alert.
Bit.
I vehemently
Oh, sorry, guys. If you haven't watched Game of Thrones, rewind a few minutes and forget I said it.
Hey, Kevin, I vehemently disagree with you.
Why?
I don't think it matters. I think that we can get – I now believe that we can get – all the people from this report in front of Congress, I think they can tell the truth of it. And from watching the news coverage and what Trump's saying, I just don't think it matters. I don't think the facts matter in this. So now I think our whole shift has to be on the absolute, we have to win these electoral votes. So now it's just a shift in who can win in New Hampshire, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Florida.
I mean, it's not really a shift. That's something we're always concerned with.
But
where I disagree with you is that I don't – when you say it doesn't matter, I think it does matter. The
no
new,
one's
latest polls,
this,
the latest polls right now, his approval rating is the lowest it's ever been.
It's garbage. I think some people are watching.
People are watching.
I think it matters actually more of a historical context. Like –
that's what's going to matter.
It means something that we...
12 years from now.
Right. Or even 50 or 100. Like, the Nixon thing matters.
No.
Even the Clinton thing is going to matter. Like, these things do matter. But if it doesn't matter right now...
There's no question Trump's going to be trash in history.
Right.
Maybe
But trash, like, yeah, he won't.
No, it's going to be
our... If we have history books.
It's going to be our politically biggest down...
Yeah.
And most importantly,
I hope so.
No.
It better be.
In the way that we treated the people that were with us.
Most
United
vulnerable
Kingdom,
people.
The way he treated Australia, the way he treated Canada and Mexico. I think those are going to be politically and historically the things that look the worst. Mm. You'll watch Fox News right now and they're spinning and spinning and spinning. This is a win for him. And I just don't know what could happen.
So I was going to say also about, you might remember Fox News a couple of times, and I think one thing Democrats are doing wrong is ignoring Fox News completely, because the most eyes
Pete's
are on
going
Fox,
on there.
I know, that's the right thing to do. Like,
Bernie did well on it.
Go on there.
Killed it.
If 98% of the people still hate you, that's 2% more people who will vote for you, and those votes matter. Like,
and again,
don't ignore that.
And again, 80,000 people were the difference in
right.
the
last
Kevin, election.
And you said this is the fact about going on Fox News or not, or going for impeachment or not, are in the same conversation. So do we decide to stand on our morals and impeach when we're going to lose and let Trump talk about how we lost the impeachment? Is the same thing as if we go on Fox News, are we giving credibility to that station?
Right.
When we should sit there and be like, they've been a state news channel spewing hate and, you know, putting all this stuff out there we don't agree with. Like, it's a moral bad place to be in.
Yeah.
We're in this place where do we fight them on their ground or do we fight on our own ground and lose?
Yeah, I think this one you have to, just because you need to get eyes on you. And you got to, like, this one you have to.
I think me and you agree. In 2019, I think we impeach and we go on Fox News. I think
I've actually, you guys, I think, have changed my mind on this. And again, I brought up earlier why I thought it was a bad idea politically. But I've thought about this a lot since we recorded the Mueller episode less than a week ago.
I think we got to go do the fist fight on their territory.
Yeah, go in fighting because Trump's not going to hold any punches. The GOP is not going to hold any punches.
They're not going to play by the same rules we want.
Right. It's not a level playing
field.
They're
going to show up with a gun to a knife fight.
And so use the power you have that's given to you by the Constitution. And if people protest that, then say, well, you know what? Your problem is with the Founding Fathers, not with us.
Yep. So the moral of this whole entire episode is impeach.
And Goza Gone Hopped is really good.
Yeah. Is delicious.
Delicious.
Goza Gone Hopped. The beer of impeachment.
I'm sure they will love that.
So to wrap up our episode, we're going to do some rapid fire things to keep an eye on. Let's start with something that's a little more lighthearted. Everyone can look forward to this. I want you all to know that marking tires with chalk to track how long a car has been parked now violates the Constitution.
It's a win.
Yeah. A federal appeals court in Michigan decided, hey, unconstitutional based on the Fourth Amendment, whatever. More power to you all.
Yeah, good.
Next time you see a police officer, chalk your tires. Just remind him, hey, this is unconstitutional. And park there as long as you want.
It's only to sit there for 3 hours and then give you a ticket anyway.
Right.
So, yeah.
Other thing to keep an eye on, here's something where I'm actually going to support something the Trump administration has proposed.
Everyone drink.
Real quick. Yeah, everyone drink on this one because it's rare. The Trump administration has rolled out a plan with the FCC to provide $20.4 billion to bring 5G, the upcoming higher speed mobile network, to rural America. I think this is a great idea. Right now, rural America is criminally underserved as far as internet speeds go. And this is one of the few things I'm like, yeah, I'm 100% behind this. It's funny because a lot of very conservative websites are calling this a socialist policy.
Because Donald Trump is not actually conservative.
Yeah, well, we don't have enough time to get into that.
Sorry.
But that's something positive for the country as a whole. The more we can bring people up to speed technology-wise, the better. Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This has been an amazing time.
That was awesome.
We'll hope you come back and join us again.
Would love to.
Really appreciate your insight. Hope you got good and drunk.
Yes, again, the Goza Gone Hopped is legitimately delicious. I love it. I'm a big fan.
What brewing company is that?
Is that the...
Stillwater Artisanal Brewing Company?
Fantastic.
Listen, if you're looking for a spokesperson, Steve's got you covered.
I'm your guy.
Steve, do you have anything you want to plug?
I mean, I don't really do this. However, I do want to... give a shout out to Mallory Rubin and Jason Stepcione from Binge Mode. I love them. They're awesome. And if they're hearing this, send me an email. Come
on. So now it's become clear that Steve is just using our podcast to parlay a career in podcasting to meet the people at The Ringer.
I want to be friends with them. They're awesome.
The Ringer is super dope.
They are great.
And, awesome, yeah. Listen, Mallory Rubin, Mother of Dragons, the best. Sorry.
Okay, I love it.
Done. And since we're doing the Ringer shout outs, let's just really shout out to the guy that matters. Shea Serrano.
Shea Serrano's good. Good dude.
The last 2 days on Twitter, he spent his time spending $250 to people that couldn't pay their light bill.
Really?
Or their cell phone. Wow, or awesome. Put air in their tires or whatever it was. And that guy and the FOH army are some of the better things you'll see on Twitter. Twitter's so full of hate, the politics, the fighting. If you want to see something good in Twitter, follow Shea Serrano. They just take care of good people.
That gave me the warm and fuzzies.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, it's nice to end on a positive
note. Yeah, feel good.
If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram at @drinking_libpod. And you can check out our website at www.drinkingliberallypod.com. There we're going to post our footnotes and any behind-the-scenes photos we have. And finally, if you could rate and review us on whatever podcast service you're listening to, we truly appreciate it. We'll talk to you all next week. Cheers.